Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. In the last decade, many studies have continued to show a positive outlook for much of the African continent. This is good news for a continent in which over 60% of the population is under the age of 25. But as the continent continues to rapidly industrialize, the one sector that is continually falling behind is agriculture. And even though many African communities depend on agriculture for both commercial and subsistence purposes, agriculture still counts for just 33% of the continent's GDP. In fact, the World Bank estimates that Africa has more than 50% of the world's fertile and yet unused land. And therefore, public or private investment has the potential to change the lives of hundreds of millions, at the same time addressing income and living inequalities. Income inequality, as we know, is a big problem on the African continent, as we recently explored on this show. The World Bank estimates that the GDP growth from agriculture has doubled the gains in reducing poverty compared to other sectors. So you get more from investing in agriculture than in other sectors. That means that as we embrace and grow other sectors like IT, we really can't afford to overlook the biggest resource that we have on the continent. So on the show today, we will listen to your opinions, as always, on this issue. We always look forward to that. And we have exclusive interviews with two of Africa's biggest music stars currently, who are currently campaigning on a platform to get more investment into the agricultural sector and at the same time trying to mobilize young people into understanding the opportunities that agriculture presents to them and their communities. So stick with us. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
I think if youths get involved in it, it can increase on the production, since it deals with production of foodstuffs and each and every time we eat. So I think it can bring about economic prosperity, since we buy food each and every day. Young people feel it's a dirty job and they run for white-collar jobs. Yeah, I think they run for white-collar jobs and they have a negative attitude towards agriculture.
Agriculture can help the young people in very many different ways. First of all, those who have been idle will also get some employment through, for example, maize, buying beans when it reaches the season. They have some money or profits made out of that. And at the end of the day, they're learning more other businesses. They have time. They have opportunities to start other different businesses out of agriculture.
I believe agriculture is one of the ways that young people can actually take up and make a lot of money. But the fact that youths look at agriculture as something that is for old people, that is why many youths are not taking up agriculture.
I will love you every day.
Welcome to the show. It's another gorgeous day and we're broadcasting cross-continental here. Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, D.C. and I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Welcome to the show. We love having you on board. We've got more music and we've got loads more coming your way, so keep your station locked right here on The Voice of America. We've seen new business models emerge over the last decade in many sectors, and a lot of them rely heavily on technology-based improvements in, for productivity and changes in distribution associated with the internet. This would be a great opportunity for entry by many young Africans who are interested in technology. And you don't necessarily have to think of agriculture in terms of, you know, being on the land and working the land. You can be a distributor, work in supply chain management, packing, packaging, etc. Whatever you do to advance the agricultural sector advances you professionally and the community as a whole and promotes nation building.
Sub-Saharan Africa has a large and growing population of young people, and yet we've seen little job creation in the formal sector. Some experts say that agriculture is 11 times more effective at reducing poverty in sub-Saharan Africa than in other sectors. Now, Nadia, the organization One launched one of the continent's biggest music collaborations with their song Cocoa Na Chocolate. The song was spearheaded by one of the biggest artists on the continent, D'Banj. You remember him from the big hit Oliver Twist. D'Banj is from Nigeria, and he's been making waves over the continent, but also all over the world. Now, this campaign by One seeks to increase the awareness on the benefits of investing more in agriculture, but also using youth as the driving force behind this initiative. They believe that by bringing in artists who are also role models to many young people, that they will kind of demystify this whole idea that agriculture is not cool to engage in. I spoke to D'Banj on this issue, and what he says is his mission to rebrand agriculture and inform African youth that their future lies literally beneath their feet and their hands.
Agriculture is the fastest way of eradicating poverty, one, getting job creation, and more importantly, putting food on our table, not just for us, but if we do it very well, we can export food to the rest of the world, as Africa still has most of the, you know, buried land now. Mm-hmm. So I said, Did they tell me the richest man in Africa is a farmer? I said, and you know me, I'm a businessman. Money, I don't play with money. I said,
People know D'Banj as a musician, but you're also a businessman.
Oh, yes. Fully. Yes. So that struck something in my head, and I said, okay, I want to do this. So I said, okay. So they carried me first. I remember going 3 hours drive to South Africa. Well, I said Ghana. We got to Ghana. Mm-hmm. Then they took me on 3 hour drive into
the village,
my brother, into one cocoa plantation. Mm-hmm. And then they tell me that it's from these small scale farmers that we generate most of the products that we eat. Not even all those big Nestle's and all those big companies, but are the small farmers that they want. Right. So I sat with one of them and I asked him, if you've seen the documentary, you'll see where he took me through the process of making, of getting to chocolate and cocoa, and how hard it is after you've gone through that hard process to even process it, to, you know, transport it, to keep it, which is storage.
Right.
So I got into the whole picture, and then I realized that if this is taken care of, we have 850 million people in Africa. All of us cannot be musicians.
Right.
All of us cannot be actors.
Absolutely.
All of us cannot go into oil and gas, but we can. You know, we can feed the rest of the world.
But once somebody can get a job on the value chain, he can be the one who stores the cocoa.
He can be the one who produces primarily. Right. He can be the one who stores. Like, when I'm into processing now, processing and packaging. That's what I'm doing. Mm. Like, God has given me such a good name, which is Cocoa. Everybody says, I came in here and you said Cocoa Master.
Right.
So recently I just released my own cassava, you know, cassava flakes, which is called Gari, which is Cocoa Gari. And I presented it to Dangote, and he held it and liked it. And we have a picture of myself and the richest man, you know, in Africa.
Zach just told me that you changed your name to Cocoa Farmer now.
Yes, Cocoa Farmer. That's K-O-K. So you have to understand that, because I've been doing different products. Like, you know, Cocoa Master has already covered for music. So you're going to have... You never know, it might be Cocoa Mobile. Cocoa Water.
What do you want young people to get from this campaign when they listen to this song, in terms of understanding the need to get into agriculture?
Yeah, over. For me, I think the song has given us first step, which is the youths are aware that agriculture is the future.
Mm.
And that in order for us to eradicate poverty, we have to focus on agriculture as a job, not just as any kind of thing for our older fathers to do. Secondly, the song has given us 2.2 million African youths signing a petition that says that 10% of the annual budget of the African countries must be, you know, an agriculture.
Yes.
Now, what we need to take out of it is that has happened. In the recent AU summit, the leaders agreed to what we started. So they put that in it, that there was some support agriculture with 10%. Some said even more than 10. Some said they will create different things. The next step is for our youth to be aware that these people have said they will do this. So we don't want them to. Let us follow through with it.
Light a fire on there.
Light a fire on that. And we know this is what you want to do first. Secondly, for those that want to go into agriculture, there are different schemes, there are different programs that are now available that we, the young youths, the future generation, can benefit from. Soft loans, from lands, from mechanized equipment. I know that from Nigeria, because I'm an ambassador of the new Nagropreneur, which is Nigeria Agriculture Entrepreneur. We just came out from what we are doing. You know, right. The Minister of Agriculture said, you know what, from what you are doing, it's a great thing. Come and spearhead this. And this is to empower 750,000 youths in Nigeria. So this is a result of what we've started. And I can see us getting more involved with it. And the most important thing is that we as role models, now that the youths have seen that, wow, it's the branch that we all look at wearing all this gold, is moving to agriculture. Then I can go into it. I see my social media going up every day. I'm into poultry. How can I get this? I'm into fishery. How can I get this? So I see a great future for Africa.
So movement has started.
Yes, it has.
The branch. Thank you very much. Thank it was you. Such a pleasure to meet you,
you too,
and to talk to you, man.
You God bless you.
The song Cocoa Nut Chocolate. Now, the other artist attached to this one campaign to support agriculture is the legendary Femi Kuti. Femi says that he's convinced that the power of youth engagement in agriculture will transform the continent, but that he hopes governments put more money into this sector.
It's to put pressure on African governments to put more money in agriculture. Africa needs to farm. So that was very easy. I wasn't thinking about the collaboration. First was, one is coming, wants to put everybody together to do this big initiative. I said, wow. And when you see what's happening globally, you cannot but be serious, say, wow, if this really works and Africa starts to produce and more young people start going into farming and there's massive farming and people can sustain their lives, and wow, I just saw the big picture. I said, wow, it will be good to be part of this.
Part of this movement.
Yes.
Yeah, young people are not engaging in agriculture simply because they feel it's something for people who didn't go to school. It is something for people who are broke. I think that is the major reason why so many young people cannot join agriculture.
Yeah, I think so, because agriculture can create economic prosperity for young youth people. Because in agriculture, you can like sell agriculture things like fruits, what, then you get money to earn for a living. Many young people are not joining agriculture because they see it as like they are going for college jobs, because they see agriculture not like earning so much money. They are in for much money. They want cash money so that they can quickly.
My name is Benny Benjamin in South Sudan. What I see on farming, I can see that most of the people, they are not being encouraged to do that job to be self-independent, being a farmer, a young farmer. I think on my side, I would like parents, especially the parents, they should be encouraging their own daughters, their own sons, at least, so that they can have that encouragement to be young farmers.
My name is Yeto Kabu George Maxwell. These people running away from agriculture, it means they are trying to look for an easy thing to do, because they look at manually as being something very difficult. But if we can mechanize it, they will know, and they will all come and join hands and know that this is a good thing. I think we need to improve upon the agricultural sector by mechanizing it. Yeah, they can get so much involved, because they will be using modern machines. They will not be using their own energy.
Most youth today see farming as something so local for them to carry out.
For example, the money they get from agriculture, selling the goods, selling the products, they can run other different businesses. Young people are so rural urban-minded in a way that they think that agriculture is for those who are not educated, or those who are in rural areas that are really don't have it whatsoever to do.
Sub-Saharan Africa has a large and growing population of young people, and yet we've seen little job creation in the formal sector. Some experts say that agriculture is 11 times more effective at reducing poverty in sub-Saharan Africa than in other sectors. Kenneth Wameo is a veterinarian in Nairobi, Kenya. We talked about some of the reasons why young people stay away from jobs in the agriculture sector.
Agriculture is very important in our country in the sense that it's the biggest employer of the citizens in the land.
Okay.
We are talking about a population of about 40 million Kenyans, and about 75% of us derive a livelihood from agriculture.
So 75% are some sort of either subsistence farmers or commercial farmers in one way or another?
Yes, the bulk of them are subsistence farmers. We have, and the smaller percentage is commercial farming. The smaller percentage, let's say 25, feeds the country, and the other 75% just live off it.
Are there any young people that are actually engaged in agricultural activities or farming activities?
Okay, lately, the percentage has declined rapidly because we find that the youth have tended to shun agriculture. But we have been, as a country, we have been trying to encourage people to continue with agriculture because of the importance of food crops and employment per se. But the youth have tended to head for white-collar jobs.
And why is that? Why don't they find farming attractive?
I think they would associate it with their upbringing, because you find the bulk of Kenya in the rural areas in terms of percentage. Very few are in the town. So they associate it with poverty, with dirt. So they don't want to go back to the farm. They want to remain in the cities and look for white-collar jobs. They don't see that you can earn a living from agriculture.
Are there any examples of successful individuals in the farming sector in Kenya that somebody you could refer to and say, listen, this person is a farmer and he makes a good living out of what he does? And you need to have some sort of land capital, you know, not a lot of capital, depending on what type of farming you want to do. But how accessible is land for a younger person?
Now, to own land, that is difficult, because what has happened over time is that we had large portions of land, let's say, at independence. You'd find one family would have maybe 5-10 acres. But over time, the culture here has been that your family or the boys in the family inherit land. So over time, land has diminished in terms of acreage per person. And then you realize now it's not profitable to farm on smaller parcels of land. So land is expensive if you want to buy it. The capital is expensive to acquire in the sense that getting collateral from the banks, we have high interest rates. So I think those two issues have also been a deterrent. But where families own land, they have continued with subsistence farming, but then the setback has been it's not profitable given the diminishing returns.
Dr. Kenneth Wameo in Nairobi, Kenya, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you too, Captain.
If you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. We're still talking agriculture as a viable and alternative source of employment for African youth. This is a sector, Jackson, that continues to be shunned by young people. We see it all the time. Young people would rather explore white-collar jobs in offices and other sectors. A lot of them moving to the cities, preferring that hustle and bustle of city life. But we know that agriculture can be both profitable and fun to engage in as a passion vocation or a profession. And we've seen many cases where young people do apply themselves to this profession. It's been rewarding, and we've seen a lot of creativity coming to the fore. And we're blessed with our natural resources, right? We're blessed with a continent that is overall rich and fertile. In many corners of this continent, we find that it can sustain crop life for most of the year, and that is a gem in and of itself. Investing both time and resources in agriculture should be encouraged really by communities and by governments that seek to create employment for youth and solve issues related to food security. These are very real issues on the continent.
So there are some young people who actually want to explore jobs in farming, to want to be farmers or aspire to be farmers, but don't find an opportunity or an entry point to start or where to start from. Judy Stewart in South Africa started an organization called Future Farmers, where she searches and selects aspiring individuals who are passionate about farming and trains them to become farm managers or farm owners by offering them intensive apprenticeship on regional and global farms. I reached her in Harwick, South Africa.
The organization that I work for is called Future Farmers. Our job is to try and source young people who have a passion for farming but have no opportunity to get into farming, and then to help them to become commercial farmers.
What was your inspiration to start Future Farmers?
I started Future Farmers in about 2006, and I did it because I encountered some children at an agricultural show who were showing animals and obviously really enjoying it. And I said to them, well, now that you're going to be finishing school, what are you going to do? Are you going to be going to an agricultural college? And all of these children said, no, we can't pursue our passion in agriculture because there's no money. And I decided at that point that we couldn't afford to neglect this genuine desire to farm. And so I said to the kids, you've got no money, I've got no money, but I know people who might be able to help you. Let's set up an apprenticeship program.
Setting up an apprenticeship program with already established farmers.
That's correct. I approached then a number of farmers that I knew well, successful commercial farmers, and I said to them, please, won't you take on one of these young people, pay them minimum wage, give them an opportunity to learn the trade.
Now, I don't know many people who would say that they found a group of young people who have a passion in farming. Is this something that is common in Harwick, given that it's a farming town?
It's not common to Harwick. There are very few people from Harwick who are on my program. People come to me from all over South Africa. There's a culture of farming in this country that goes back many generations. And although the majority of the young people today want to live in cities, there are still those out there.
Okay.
I think it's almost genetic. They were just born loving animals and loving plants and wanting to be out in the country and producing food.
Now, part of the legacy of apartheid was that most of the farming land or most of the commercial farming was owned by white farmers. Do you take that into consideration when you're choosing the young people that are going to be to go into this apprenticeship? Are they mainly young black South Africans who, you know, take interest or you are interested in?
The young people that I work with are nearly all black, but I don't like to refer to anyone by their race.
Okay.
You know, the apartheid government disappeared 20 years ago, and that's a long time. And I think we need to start looking at people as people, not as black people or white people or anything else. I want to try and develop young people to have a passion, because if they have a passion, they will be successful. And I'm interested in seeing them as successful commercial farmers. There are lots and lots of programs in this country and, in fact, throughout Africa that are helping African farmers to become small-scale and subsistence farmers. But there don't seem to be any programs that are helping them to become top commercial farmers. And they are just as capable of doing that as anybody else.
And how long is the apprenticeship or the program that they go through at future farmers?
The apprenticeship, I would say, must be a minimum of 2 years, but in some cases they need more time than that. We send them overseas when we feel that they are competent and confident.
Is there any education requirement for them to join the program? And also, you know, in general, is there an education requirement? Do you have to have a certain amount of education to become a successful farmer?
I don't require any education from them. What I want is passion, and I will take young people who don't have a matric, they haven't even finished school, usually because there hasn't been money for them to finish school. I don't discriminate against anybody. I take people with university degrees. I take people with agricultural diplomas, but they all come to me on an equal footing. So I will say to them, whether you've got an agricultural degree or whether you've just come from school, you know nothing about farming. You start on minimum wage and you work your way up. You have to prove that you're worth something.
Judy, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share this with you.
Thank you very much for listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Sam in Johannesburg, South Africa. We would also like to thank all our listeners who contributed to the show this time around. And if you have any questions or comments or want to contribute to the show in future, remember to send us an email at upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is @UpfrontAfrica. Let's connect again next week, right here, same time. On behalf of my colleague Nadia Sami, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best. Yes, sir. Two Face,
Nato C. Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1500 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.